Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, thanks for having me.
Tim, a person I know was called on a Sunday a month ago by their bank manager, can you imagine, on a Sunday, who said, please don't take your money out of your investment account. It's perfectly safe there. The markets are just about to bounce back. Well, since then, they've lost another 30% in that portfolio because they took their bank manager's advice. Tim, would you have taken that bank manager's advice considering the conditions the markets are in right now?
Well, you know, it's funny you tell that story. I would not have. And it's funny you tell that because this week, 2 days ago, I walked into my local bank and the branch manager happened to be standing there and the market was down. I think that was the day it was an 800 point down day. I think it was 800 points, whatever it was. And, she asked me, she said, well, and the question was prompted by the market being down. She said, well, what do? We ride under a rock? Is this Armageddon? You know, she was kind of joking around. And, you know, I told her, I said, well, I think it's both. And you know, this is a whole lot more dire situation than people realize. And as I got to talking to her, I understood that she really didn't understand the environment that we were in or that we are in. And very, very few people are. I wanted to go back and draw to people's attention talking about the setup here. And, you know, since February, I have had evidence, and now the evidence is overwhelming, that the four-year cycle top in equities is in. But going back, you may remember, or may not, I look back at some notes. In May of 2021, when we did an interview, we were doing them every other week then, and you had asked me about lumber, or maybe I just mentioned lumber, but we talked about lumber. And I said that I thought that it had peaked and that we would follow it for fun, you know, and talk about the structure in the next interview. Well, by the time the next interview came around 2 weeks later, lumber had fallen apart. And, you know, we've since had a rebound rally, and then it's turned down again, and we're down 67%. I just calculated it before it came on. I wrote about that in the May letter. Right around the time that we talked about it, the high in lumber was 1711. And I said in that letter, it's documented, that I thought that lumber would return to a long-term mean of around 277. And we haven't reached that yet, but I think we're on our way. And at the time, you know, that sounded crazy to say as we sat virtually at the top. Another example of that I went back and pulled some notes on was in mid-November, we talked about Bitcoin, and I said that I thought that it had peaked, and I did an analysis, again, this is in print, in a letter, one of the research letters, I did an analysis and said that I thought, went through all the cyclical structure, and said that I thought that Bitcoin had peaked, and that it was leading equities. Well, Bitcoin's now down 68%, and like I said, we have seen confirmation of the four-year cycle top in equities, and equities did peak the following month. So that said, people don't understand the environment that we're in. This is, we've been dealing with this mammoth top for a long, long time in the financial engineering that's held it up, but now we're kind of in dire straits, I guess you would say, with the setup that's taking place. And the next piece of this, if I could go on, is as crazy as it may sound, and as crazy as, you know, it sounded to talk about lumber at the high in May of 21 and Bitcoin in November. I think we're at a juncture here where commodities are at risk, and I think we're at a juncture where interest rates, the spike in interest rates, are at risk. So we're at some inflection points, and again, I don't think people understand the environment that we really, truly face.
Now, a 0.75 increase in interest rates by the Federal Reserve, they haven't done something like that in decades. So many people weren't even alive the last time that happened. They're not aware of it. And also today, they were talking about the U.S. dollar lost a lot of value today. So why would that happen if interest rates went up? Usually when interest rates go up, the currency of that particular central bank goes up because you can make more money by making deposits.
Well, as I look at it from a cyclical perspective, the dollar, I do have some concerns with the dollar. There is a cycle, a long-term annual cycle, and it's stretched. It's stretched beyond recognition almost. The dollar has been so bullish. But I've been writing that that cycle is due, and I think I see a setup. You know, it's not confirmed yet because we're just seeing a crack here the last couple of days, but I smelled it in the last update a couple of days ago, and now I'm starting to smell it even better, and that is that there may be a turn in the dollar in the making. And, you know, I can't explain it other than that there is some long-term extended cycles due, and we could see more of a snapback in the dollar than people realize. That said, I understand what you're saying about interest rates, but, you know, it looks to me like the thing that doesn't, you know, the dollar, I just talked to some friend about this as well, but the dollar and commodities, another unusual relationship, is they have been going up together. This whole inflationary run, we've seen a strengthening dollar, and that's usually the inverse. And so now with seeing the peak and or sniffing the peak in commodities here, it only makes sense that maybe the dollar, if you know, if they're moving together up, that they would turn and move in harmony down. And that's, I agree. I see weakness in the dollar potentially. We're not there yet, but potentially setting up.
We'll have more with Tim Cycles Man Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cycles Man Wood. Tim, you said lumber prices, the futures have plunged. Yet if I go to my local hardware store, a sheet of plywood still costs more than it would if it was made out of solid platinum. I wonder, what's going on there? Is there a big disconnect between the market itself and what happens to consumers? What's going on there?
Yeah, there's a word for that. It's called, you know, we joke around, call it Ficari. And this entire inflationary round, I see Ficari is a muck. There is a pandemic. It's been a license to steal for a lot of retailers. And you see it with gasoline prices as well. You know, gasoline can, or, you know, you get a storm in the hurricane or whatever in the Gulf and, you know, gasoline a spike and immediately they raise the price at the pumps, but then it takes months for it to come down. And so it's the same sort of thing. So lumber, like I said, is down 68%. But they continue to gouge at the store. And of course, the excuse is always that, well, this is old inventory that we paid more money for. Well, it was an old inventory that you paid more money for when you raised the prices ahead of, you know what I'm saying? So it's always the consumer always pays. And, I think that's what you're seeing. And I think it'll take a while for that to shake out, but hopefully, this run with commodities is drawing to an end. At least I think an end is in sight, and maybe some of that will start to change.
Yes, gasoline takes, 45-90 days to get from the oil patch to the refinery to your local service station. Yet, if the price of oil goes up, they immediately charge you more at the pump. Shouldn't they wait 3 months to do that?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's So what they do is, in using your scenario and your timeline, so they get 6 months of higher prices out of you instead of the three that maybe it should be. So that's just the way it works. That's the Ficarri amok.
And a southern U.S. Petroleum facility that liquefied natural gas had an explosion and fire. Every spring, take a look at your news files. Every spring, a refinery somewhere in North America has an explosion and fire, and that's always their excuse to boost prices well before the driving season starts, which...
Yeah, to your point, I agree. I understand. And what I was going to say is it reminds me of the fires we're seeing with all of the food processing plants now as well.
Hmm.
But, in regards to, natural gas, I think natural gas is also at a turn point. And maybe we've already rounded that curve. I have an intermediate term sell signal in natural gas. And, if that continues to, get legs, as you say, then we could be at a major turn point in natural gas. Natural gas may be leading this. So I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing in the commodity complex.
Oil, you'd think with the high price of oil, the Canadian dollar would be screaming along. It isn't compared to the U.S. dollar, but I track the British pound because we have lots of relatives there, and occasionally we pop over to Old Blighty to visit them. The pound was $1.72 Canadian back in March. It's now $1.58 or 55, somewhere in that range. So compared to other currencies, the Canadian dollar hasn't done all that bad. It's just that our biggest trading partner, in fact, the biggest trading partnership in the world, is Canada and the U.S. We do cross-border shopping. The majority of Canadians live within 100 miles of the U.S. border. I live about 10 miles away. So it's very easy for me to go visit relatives in Seattle and gas up at the same time and save some money.
Well, and that may get better for you because, like I said, if what I'm beginning to see here with commodity prices does bite, then we're going to see lower, like I said, obviously lower prices at the pump. It'll take a while for that to shake out. And I'm potentially, like I said, see a top of I don't know of what degree yet, but a top in the making in the dollar. And it could be, we've had, I forget now, it's been so long, I think it was in January of 21, we had the four-year cycle top. So, ideally that top shouldn't, the top of that degree shouldn't be in place, but we definitely have a past due, a shorter cycle about a year in duration that's extremely stretched. And so we should have at least a correction of that cycle. So I do think that, you may get more relief there.
Mm-hmm. I know everybody's calling on their governments, whether they're local or national, to do something about inflation. Well, our finance minister, Chrystia Freeland, today said, I have measures to counter inflation. Well, these measures are going to cost $8-9 billion, and they were already announced in other previous government announcements. So no, they don't have a plan to deal with it.
Well, the best plan would be for them, for the government to just stay out of it, and I think things will take care of itself. I'm kind of the opinion, let the free market let it be and just stay away, because the more you meddle, the worse you make it. So just back off and let it be.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need their help, so to speak. It's kind of like the old saying, what's the saying? I'm from the government and I'm here to help. No, thank you.
Yeah. By the time they show up, it's too late. The BC government's plan to deal with the next heat wave. Last June, we had a record heat wave that killed between 600 and 800 people. And their plan is 3 days after a heat wave starts, they're going to start announcing you should start taking measures to protect yourself from 100 degree plus heat. Well,
yeah,
3 days later, you're dead.
Exactly. I mean, at this point, that's what I'm saying. At this point, here we are. Like I said, I'm very encouraged by what I'm seeing with commodities. I just hope it bites.
Tim, in times like this, what is the best thing to do with your money? Because again, that bank manager who tried to encourage this person to keep their money in the investment account instead of into a high interest tax free account, where, yeah, you don't make a lot of money, but you don't lose any.
Look, This has been, people don't realize, and maybe we could do a show about this. We've talked about it before, but without getting into it here, maybe we can do it in the next one, whatever you want to do. I don't care. But, you know, the big picture, this has been a financial engineering program that has been going on for 20 years. And it has blown this market into the biggest bubble ever. And, you know, you and I have talked about that, and they've managed to keep it going and keep it going and keep it going and keep it going and keep it going. And so the problem with that is that, you know, once you're exposed to something that's abnormal long enough, well, it becomes normal. And so just like the bank manager, I mean, without a background in market history and to understand how extreme this environment is, it doesn't feel extreme. It just feels normal. And so people don't understand. They simply do not understand the environment we're in. And, you know, us with a market background and historical perspective on this, we see how extreme it is, but it's just gone on and on and on and on. And the longer it's gone on, the more dangerous it has become because, you know, the more convincing, I guess you would say, it has become. And people accept it as some kind of new norm, and it's not. You know, it's just like with, you know, the peak oil in 2008, you know, when we were sitting at $147 oil, no one could have imagined $30 oil 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, whatever it was. Nobody could have imagined the lumber price from 1711 to 500 a few months later. Bitcoin from 69,000 to wherever we're at now, 20,000. I mean, everybody thinks linearly, but this, with the market as a whole, this has gone on so long, it's so extreme that people can't see it. But I think, you know, this 4-year cycle top is certainly an inflection point for it to come apart. And I think that's a real risk. I think that's potentially what we face here.
Tim, we talked about how pensioners, people close to retirement, probably will be the ones burned the most here because we don't have time, people our age, for this thing to bounce back in 10 to 15 years like it typically does.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure that it will because that's what I'm talking about by the financial engineering. You know, again, it's a long, deep, dark, complicated topic that would take, you know, time to get into, and we can if you want, but I mean later. But the organic, I've talked about this for years, the organic top in the market occurred in 2000. When I say organic top, I mean that was the top of the stock market. It was the top, you know, the economy peaked, and you really have to look no further than job participation rate and velocity of money and that sort of thing. And that's where the real financial engineering began. And since then, it's all been a game, smoke and mirrors and like I said, financial engineering. Now, obviously, price has gone up. I'm not denying that. We've seen two housing booms. We saw the housing prices, the housing run up in 2008, what we've seen, into 2006-07 and the bust into 2008-09. And what we've seen here dwarfs that. And so it's just kept the game going. And each time, you know, coming out of the 2009 low, it bounced back. Coming out of the 2020 low, it bounced back. But I'm not so sure we're going to see that this time. This has all been part of the ongoing blowing of the biggest bubble in history. And I'm just not convinced that they're going to be able to save this again.
Now, is this not shades of what happened to Japan back in the 80s when we thought Japan is the wave of the future and the Japanese investors were buying hotels in New York for insane amounts of money? And then the Asian currency crisis hit, I think around 92. That may not be the exact year. And since then, Japan's stock market, economy and everything has been in stagflation or just stagnant. And they've never come back from it. Is that our possible future? 30 years later still, or 40 years later, still not any better?
I think so, except I believe that we face a tremendous deflationary decline. I mean, deflation is what they have been fighting with this financial engineering. I mean, are you just stand back and look at it and think about it. You know, why did we see all of the things that we saw that, you know, coming out of the 2002 low that led to the most extended four-year cycle top in history, you know, that pushed prices up into the 2007 top? Why did we see all that? Why was it necessary? Why did we have to have that? Why? If the market was so strong, why? Why was it necessary? Well, it was necessary because everything was trying to deflate. And, you know, they wanted to bridge the gap. And so they bridged the gap. And in doing so, they created the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. Their words, not mine. If you Google it, people, that's how the decline into the 2009 low was described. Worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. That was a direct result of bridging the gap. Well, coming out of the 2009 low, we've seen the financial engineering on steroids compared to what we saw then, and it's just gone on and on and on. And then this latest round has been, coming out of the 2020 low, has been the expansion of debt. I mean, this has been an enormous effort or scheme, I guess I'm trying to say, to expand the debt. And it's like Richard Russell used to say, inflate or die. And so this last time they did it through debt expansion. And now here we sit. So what's left? I don't know. Maybe there's another rabbit they can pull out of the hat, but maybe not. And so I think that with this four-year cycle top being in place and the things we're seeing coming together, it's a much greater risk than people realize.
Tim, at one time when we were talking about when we suspected this was going to happen, you said the markets could drop 50 to 70%. Is that still on your radar?
Absolutely, and especially if this is really an unwinding, because I think what you're referring to is that if we look back, and I don't have the numbers, I don't remember, but I want to say the decline out of the 2000 top was somewhere in the order of, let's just call it round numbers, 40%, something like that. You know, 38, whatever the number was, I don't remember. And then, you know, the decline in 2009, it may have been 50% or so, something like that. And then we had the decline in 2020. I don't remember what the number was there. But all of these declines have been somewhere in the order of right around 50% or less. And yet it's kept the bubble going. So in reality, they have been corrections within the context of this ongoing blowing of the bubble through the financial engineering. So if we're really going to crack that, what I've said is that obviously, by example now, you can see that we need to see something greater than a 50% type decline that we saw in those other instances to really crack and unwind the bubble. So I think that's what you're talking or referring to that I had mentioned in the past. So yes, if this is really where the bubble comes unwound, I think we see something greater than 50% for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, some markets have already dropped 27% from their high back in November.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'm saying this from fuzzy memory, I want to say the S&P's down over 20 now, 24, 25, something like that. So absolutely. And like I said, Bitcoin is down 68, I believe it is, or 67, 68. Lumber's down whichever the other 67, 68. And I think commodities are going to look the same way. I think we're going to see once the peak is in place, I think we're going to see breathtaking declines like that, you know, across the board.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.